when people think about themselves in all kinds of negative ways, that they're damaged, that they're not enough, then they don't think that they're deserving of self. So they're going by what they're feeling, whether it's a judgment of self or hatred of self or a lack of appreciation, whatever it is. And then that dictates their actions or what they think they've been are worthy of pursuing, right? So of course you're not going to be connected to your soul because you're not leading with that. You're leading with all kinds of other feelings about you. Hello and welcome to Spiritually Hungry.
So happy to be back home.
So happy to be back home. We've been traveling for months, actually almost the entirety of the year. It looked really good in our minds.
And on the schedule, I do want to tell our listeners, if you're going to schedule the first 3.5 months of the year, don't schedule all the travel then.
Actually, by the way, I'm considering since September, not January.
True.
It's been nonstop since September. And I think now that I have hindsight on this, we made our schedule mostly around our kids' breaks.
Right.
And we didn't consider all the other responsibilities we had before and after that. So we worked like double time.
Right.
Insanity. Loved all the people we spoke with. Love all the energy we shared.
Absolutely.
Totally committed to everything we did.
Yes.
I'm a little tired. Happy not to see a suitcase. All right. So we're back in our comfort space, I guess, our hometown and our studio. And I'm very excited about today's topic because I think it's a huge topic that we could speak about for many episodes. Perhaps we will. Before I say what it is, I want to start with a quote that I think kind of sums it up and maybe it will give an indication to our listeners as to what we're going to talk about. Why are you staring at me like that? Are we doing
I'm
a staring
enthralled,
contest?
Enthralled, yes.
And you're like, you're not blinking.
I'm just enthralled by you.
All right. So Oprah Winfrey said,
should I not stare at you?
You can stare at me, but you're like zombie land. The eyes.
Zombie
like,
land. I'm just taken by you.
In a trance.
Do you want me to, I can look away.
That would be really awkward. Can you imagine? But I'm talking just like.
No, it's funny. I think that's the good thing about being married. It's the one person you can actually stare at and it's not weird, usually.
Yes, but also the thing is that I know what you're thinking.
Usually.
And if I can't, like now, because you're just staring, I'm distracted.
I'm just excited to hear what you have to say.
All righty. So let me say it. So actually, Oprah Winfrey said, you can run away from yourself for a very long time. You can be married to the wrong person for decades and pretend it's fine. You can fake it doing work you only half care about. You can hide behind accoutrements, square footage, and cars, big screen TVs, and fancy vacations, but you will never get away with being a phony. Eventually, life reveals itself and shows you a mirror to help you see your own truth. So in case our listeners haven't guessed it, today's topic is authenticity unleashed and how to honor your voice. And I would say before you can honor your voice, you have to be able to recognize it. Is what happens through life if you're not paying attention. Our voices become very inaudible and other people's voices, all the others, all the people around us are the loudest voices. And we usually respond to those because they seem urgent and immediate. And it's what we've trained ourselves to respond to. Wow, I feel really hyper. Am I speaking really fast? I think so. Maybe they
faster
can make
than usual.
I know. I don't think that's going to stop. No.
Okay. No, on the podcast, you can actually
they can slow it, right?
You can slow it down halftime.
Okay, good
but
luck,
I'm going to be
friends.
Talking at a regular speed.
You're going to sound really weird.
Yes. Caffeine.
Caffeine. That's how you're going to sound.
So if I can go a little bit back to topic.
Try.
It's going to be one of those.
I think maybe.
It's interesting because you mentioned to me.
Yes, I know. By the way, I know what you're going to say.
Tell me. I'll just sit and listen.
I'm sorry. I know it's not really caffeine, but wow. No, because when we were on our tour, I was just giving a talk on fear and someone came over to me and she's like, is this what you're going to say?
Yes.
She's like, I loved your podcast. Which, by the way, I shared with you when you were asleep.
Yeah, I was going to share that. You're not even letting me even add a little bit. What I was going to say is you shared this with me.
I could do both our parts today. I could do you and I could do me.
Amazing.
All in one.
I would definitely enjoy that. But no, you chose to share. Did you share yet? I'm losing
no.
track.
I feel like the Roadrunner. Okay. All right, let me back up for a second. So she came to me, she's like, "How oh, I'm a big fan. I love your podcast so much. You guys are just so funny. Although you haven't been funny lately." She's like, it's kind of like you take turns talking. I think you should be more funny again. So as I was preparing to his podcast, and it's all about authenticity, I heard her voice 100 times. And I'm like, but that doesn't feel authentic to me. If we're funny, we're funny, but we shouldn't try to be funny. But anyway, I woke you up.
Sheila, this is for you.
Sheila?
I don't know.
That's not even her. I never told you her name. I don't even know her name, so I couldn't have told you her name.
But I did say that.
But she might have looked like a Sheila.
Maybe this should be the whole podcast today. Just you going on.
Oh my God.
I'll be very entertaining. I hope our listeners would be.
I wanted to tell you that all day that day, but then yes. I gave the talk and then I came home and their kids, whatever. And then I got distracted. And then I wanted to tell you again, but you weren't in the room. And then we were finally in the same room. And I think you might have been asleep.
I was definitely asleep.
You were like kind of almost because your breathing wasn't heavy yet. So then I was like, hi.
Yes, you tapped me and woke me up to share this with me. That's how important it was to you.
Oh, I didn't want to forget to tell you.
Well, yeah, at least the first 6 minutes of this podcast, I think, or so.
Well, I'm having fun.
Yes.
In any case.
I hope our listeners are too.
But you wanted to say something about authenticity.
Why start now? So in the quote, right, Oprah uses the word phony.
Yes.
And I think that that's a very harsh word. And I think that, I'm sure many of our listeners will say, and I myself would say, I'm sure you would say, I don't feel like I'm living a phony life. And the answer is, of course, for most people, right? There are the extremes who are. But the reason why this topic is so important for every single one of our listeners, you're finding it hard to concentrate.
I'm just thinking about the next thing. I'm listening though.
Yes.
Do you know I have this skill where I can actually, I think people can do this, but I can do it really well. I can talk and I can listen with one ear and hear a whole nother conversation. And the other tool, like special gift I have, I can actually hear everything a person's saying, have thoughts about that, and then have a whole nother conversation with myself at the same time. Do you do that?
I can't do that.
I do that really well.
You're special.
I know.
So
I didn't think it was a superpower until I was talking to my sister and this came up somehow. And yeah. Anyway, you were saying?
I'm trying to decide whether we're gonna actually put this episode out or not.
Oh, we're totally putting this out. Yeah, I'm having fun.
Yes.
But I just wish you could get your point out.
having a conversation with a drunk person.
I'm totally sober.
Yeah, I know you are.
I think absolutely. That
I think we can share with the listeners, right? So you were having a little bit of a bronchial thing. So
yes.
The medication that you took,
how you drugged me right before this,
has some
hyper
yes
side effect.
Exactly. So it's all in the process of healing.
Oh.
What I was saying though,
last time I'm gonna let you give me medicine.
It was prescribed by a doctor. that none of us think that we're living a phony life. They're the extremes, but we all are living in an authentic life. And I think it's important to understand that it's a continuum. And the only question that I want our listeners to really ask themselves is, what percent of my life is authentic? And then that takes, you need to take a step back, look at your day, look at your week. Look at your life and the choices that you make and the places you invest time and effort and how you do it, mm-hmm. and really ask the question, is that my authentic self that wants to do those things, that shows up and does those things? Or is it my inauthentic self? And by the way, it's not a problem to be slightly inauthentic at different times, but it's definitely a problem if too much of our life
is authentically. As you said, I think it's hard to identify when you're authentic and when you're not, unless you're going to do some of the things we're going to talk about today, because I don't think it's automatic for most people. So I think if we asked, everybody wants to be authentic. I think we have to define what authenticity is, which maybe I'll start there before I tell you what I think the hiccup is to being authentic. There we go again. So to be authentic, most people think it's being honest, which is part of it, right? It includes honesty, but it really means to be genuine and entitled to acceptance. Being authentic is the acknowledgement that we are imperfect, yet still worthy of belonging. So I think people have a hard time being authentic when they're trying to show a different, like that they have it all figured out, that they are perfect, that they can never be wrong, right? It kind of covers who we are. So how could you actually live authentically if you don't live by that definition of it? And I think that the hiccup is a lot of times people approach life and say, yes, I want to do this or I want to do that, right? again, first you have to be connected to who you are. But even let's say you want to write a screenplay, you have an idea for one. And then you go to the movie theater and there's a trailer for a movie and it's very, very similar to the thought that you had. Then right away, what happens? You had excitement and now you're crushed, right? Because it's all still involved with external. Or if you, you know, have a recipe. I remember when I was writing my first book, I kept questioning myself, is this really authentic? What I'm writing, is it really original? You know, and I realized that if you even have a recipe and you follow a chef's recipe, it's going to be different when you make it. It's probably going to be different every time you make it, right? What's the only difference in the recipe that you followed is that you've put yourself into it. Now you are part of the recipe. And I think that if we look at life like that, we're going to understand and start living authentically in a different kind of way.
Yeah, and I was going to say also that, you know, you said showing up honestly, about honesty, and that I want to clarify that because, you know, I, for myself, for example, very often, you know, let's say I'm tired and I have, you know, an event to go to, and I will, my goal is when I show up anywhere is to try to, you know, share with people, you know, make people happy. And even if I'm tired, for using that as an example, I will show up with a smile on my face. I try to show up with a smile on my face, you know, with enthusiasm and energy. So, right. Authenticity. And that's why I would add to the definition of authenticity is that it's not necessarily showing up as what you're feeling right now, right?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, I'm not saying you did. I'm not saying you did. But for me, authenticity is living the truth of your soul.
Yes.
And
that's what I meant by that.
Right, right. So the question is not what do I feel like right now? Even what do I feel like doing right now? But rather, what does my soul really want to do right now? What is the choice that it wants to make? So in a situation like that, where I'm feeling tired, but I know people, my soul wants to share, for example, with these people. So showing up with a smile on my face and with enthusiasm is my authentic self, meaning my soul revealed. And I think that's, I'd maybe take a minute or two just to go into that, because I think it's so important, because this is, I think, the core question for our listeners and for us when we talk about the question is, what is my soul's desire now?
So here's the thing. I think people have a hard time being authentic. And again, by that definition is that we're still imperfect, yet still worthy of good things, right? So, and belonging for all things. When people think about themselves in all kinds of negative ways, that they're damaged, that they're not enough, then they don't think that they're deserving of self. So they're going by what they're feeling, whether it's a judgment of self or hatred of self or a lack of appreciation, whatever it is. And then that dictates their actions or what they think they even are worthy of pursuing, right? So of course, you're not going to be connected to your soul because you're not leading with that. You're leading with all kinds of other feelings about you. You
know, so I want to understand that. So you're saying that when people have negative views of themselves,
it's almost impossible to live authentically.
Because, explain that again.
For many reasons. One is that if you think that you're just not good enough, that's how you're going to express yourself in the world. You're not going to think that you have the right to have an opinion or have the right to have a desire or have the right to whatever your list of things that you want. And so
you'll shut off your authentic self because of the way a negative view you have of yourself.
Of self, exactly. So you're not viewing your soul, obviously. You're not viewing your potential. You're just viewing how you view yourself. And look, let's be honest, we come with a lot of baggage, a lot of trauma, you know, a lot of, and unless we do the work to see the light in that and see the opportunity in that, people get stuck in that place. And to how you started at the beginning is that, you know, most people think that, like, I'm not even thinking about authenticity. Yeah, because they're too busy kind of living and surviving.
Right. That's an important point that we have at least these two parts of ourself, right? There's the authentic self, which we've been talking about up until now, right? And then there's the adaptive self.
That's what I was just looking at. Exactly. There's the adaptive self and the authentic self.
Right. And
do you want to unpack that?
Well,
adaptive is, it helps you function through difficult, confusing times. It's also the part of you that just wants to fit in, right? Because you don't want to draw too much attention to yourself, especially if it might be negative. The authentic self helps you feel and connect to the real you, to the soulful you. It requires self-awareness and it requires honesty also. And if you're not able to be aware of who's driving in which different situations, you're not going to be clear about what is your adaptive self and what your authentic self is. And honestly, what will be leading for most of the time will be the adaptive self, because that's how you've trained yourself.
Right. And I think it's important to realize, and that
I love that we both had the same thought.
That how, I don't want to say how, but how many years we have been living more the adaptive self, whether because of, you know, how we grew up and you know, like you said, we wanted to fit in. We want our parents to like us.
If I can give you an example.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you, yeah.
Because I think it starts with every human gets to a stage in their life, usually around puberty, high school, where they really want to fit in. And they're not thinking about belonging, right? So when I think before teenage years, we're all about just being, right? We want to be part of that. We want to be part of that. We're curious about this. We kind of explore, approach life in that way. Then when we get to high school, now it's really important to be liked, right? Really important to fit in. I went to Beverly Hills High School, as I've shared before. And I started to, and I was popular. I fit. I'm not saying that to sound like, you know, popular. But I remember I did fit in and I was popular. But what happens is then you want to keep that going, right? So I started to then care about what people thought. I wanted to make sure that I continued to fit in. I certainly didn't divulge any weaknesses I had or any fears I had. So I started to hide that. And I wasn't truthful about my passions or interests anymore because it might be different than the group, even though I was already part of the group. So it starts to be something that kind of holds you. And it's funny because I thought about this a few weeks ago. I'm not even sure why this memory came back to me. And then I thought about it today when I was thinking about the topic. But I remember, I don't know. I mean, look, I love to dance. And I had stopped dancing in high school, actually. I did before and I did again after. And became an athlete again after. So those high school years were really kind of confusing. Like I wasn't an athlete for part of that because I didn't want to sweat. I didn't want to shower at the school. I didn't want, like, there's all these things that were influencing it. But I remember I wanted to be a cheerleader one day. And so
what age?
This is in high school.
That's still too late to be a cheerleader.
No, there's a cheerleading team, Michael. So I told my 5 girlfriends, I was like, let's try out because I wouldn't do that on my own, not in that environment. So I got them all to go to practice and it was hard. I still have a flashback of this. We were like in Levi jeans and motorcycle boots. No, I've never told you. Motorcycle boots. And I'm like, come on, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I drag them all. We walk in. All my friends judged all the cheerleaders. It was a very different group. And they're like, we're leaving. And like, I just followed them out. We left. That was it. Aww. And it's just an example of, now, if you know me, you know I love cheering. You know I love dancing. You know I get excited about those things. But I was so disconnected from even what I desired. I wasn't looking for it anymore. All because I wanted to fit in. And it requires so much effort to fit in, actually. And it doesn't leave time to explore what you actually want, to ask yourself if what you're doing makes you happy, or even to spend time on things that's meaningful to you because you're so busy making sure that you fit in.
I think that's an important part. I would only add 1-2 things at the beginning of the end of that, is that I think there are people, it's probably more when parents were not, you know, either not present or not great parents, where the adaptive self can start becoming developed even before that, right? Mm-hmm. If at the home, you know, there's fighting all the time. And mm-hmm. right,
I did come from that kind of environment right before high school. And I think that's why it made me so open to jumping into, okay, I really need to feel safe, right? Because I didn't feel that at home where there was so much instability. Right. So if I had to look back, yeah, where did it happen? It probably happened before, for sure.
And I think a lot of our listeners probably experienced that as well, where if you look back, you realize that there were things that were going on at the house, at the home, even before high school, where the adaptive self starts taking over to try to make things okay in one way or the mm-hmm, other. Mm-hmm. And then I think, and to your point, I think it is true that for so many of, you know, majority of people, there is that time in high school that really, you know, we're not even aware about the damage that it does, but the adaptive self becomes the more dominant part of us and the authentic self becomes the diminished part. And then too often that continues into life, right? We finish high school, we finish college, and then we go into life even forgetting that there was such a thing as an authentic self.
Right. And I woke up because I started studying Kabbalah at 17 and it kind of like shook me awake. And I was like, wait, what is it that I want? Because I started to feel lack. But if that hadn't happened, you know, I wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that when people really do live authentically, their friend group actually becomes smaller and smaller because you weed out all of the other distractions, noises. You want to be around people who are just interested in those kinds of things, being curious, being open, growth mindset, right?
I think that's a very important point and something I was thinking about as well, that to live your authentic self is going to do 2 things, at least. It will weed out some people that don't really mesh with your authentic self. And it doesn't, it's not a judgment on them. They, you know, but for your authentic self, they're not right. On the other hand, it also will call into your life mm-hmm. people that are more in tune with your authentic self. And I think it's important to realize that the journey towards living an authentic life is not always an easy one. It's going to have its challenges.
It's hard.
And one of them is that people who you really like or maybe even love for one reason or another are not going to be a big part of your authentic life.
Right. And that kind of change is scary. It's scary for all because, well, for many reasons.
But the good news is on the flip side of that, the more you're living your authentic self, your soul actually calls into your life people who support that. So yes, there's a loss, but there's also a gain. If mm-hmm. if you stay true to it.
Well, there's actually an old Yiddish word called echt. And it means, am I saying it wrong?
I'm not sure.
Let's just assume it's right. It's spelled E-C-H-T. Echt.
Okay.
You want to look it up? Because sure. You're like, how do you know a Yiddish word? I don't know.
I mean, anyway, what does it mean?
It means to be true, to be genuine, to be authentic. To truly belong, we have to be echt. Because the questions I have for you and our listeners is, how can we be accepted by others in a genuine way if we don't love and accept ourselves for who we are at our core? How can we speak and act and think in perfect accord to our core self if on some level we don't like who we are? Which we said, is that not the right definition?
Yeah, it is. It's, you're teaching me Yiddish. It was very funny. So last night I was listening to a history of...
taught Michael Yiddish.
I was actually listening to a documentary on Shalom Aleichem, was a very famous Yiddish writer. Mm. It's actually a very interesting story, the way that language came about and words that he made up. But today, you know, it's almost, you know, there's very few people still speak it, but interesting.
Oh, I channeled your Yiddish. Exactly. Your Yiddish. Yiddish. So to be clear, fitting in is not belonging. Fitting in requires that you change, suppress your authentic self in order to emulate others. So I think just to be really ask each one of us where we're at on that level of caring so much that we are making ourselves smaller. I think also if we look at our behaviors, we have to make sure that there is not a discrepancy between our actions and our beliefs, like our internal versus our external.
Well, by the way, I'm going to guarantee you there's going to be a discrepancy. The question is
how big and how often.
And what direction are you going?
That's why sometimes people come to me and they say, you know, I'm getting all this pressure. My parents think this, or this person doesn't like that about me, or they don't like who I'm dating. And I always ask, does this person that you are holding so much their opinion in such high regard, do you want to be just like them? You know, do you want to live your life just like that? Is it worthy of emulation? And no judgment. But I often think, and I've been really kind of like, you know, I love to study people. And so sometimes people will be on a path of spirituality. They'll study Kabbalah or something else. And they seem like they're really, really connected, only to do something later that is not aligned with that, or they no longer want to be spiritual, right? So then I go back and I kind of rewind and I was like, where was the internal and the external not connected? And you can't see what's happening internally, right? But it is the biggest lesson of how our eyes deceive us and the illusions that we see, because you never know. The only thing we can do is hold ourselves accountable to that, to make sure that whatever it is that you want to grow internally, your external is pursuing that. And if your external showing something else that you're not, then you're not living authentically.
And I think that really brings another idea, which is important, that...
That's a cute way to change the subject.
No, I'm not changing the subject. No, because you sparked an idea. As usual, you sparked an idea. that even if you're...
I kind of like this version of me. I just want to be like light and fluffy.
I like every version of you, but I also like this version of you. I agree. Peppy Monica.
Yeah.
That... Even if we're living an authentic life, we still have to be assessing and reassessing. And I'll use an example from my own life. I know you like when I give personal examples.
We love when you do that.
So I know that part of my authentic life, meaning what my soul desires, is for me to teach. And I do that and I give lectures and all that. But I know that I have to keep asking myself the question, you know, because authentic life means I do that because my soul wants me to do it. I don't do it because people love me more because of it, like me more because of it, you know, give me accolades because of it. And if you do that for a day, a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, it's very easy to still be doing the right thing, quote unquote, what your soul wants you to be doing, but doing it in an inauthentic way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very important point, because I know for myself, I keep questioning. I think it's always important to assess and reassess. Okay, you agree with your soul that you should be doing this, but is your ego creeping into it? Is it becoming inauthentic in one way or another? And unless you're doing that, I think the likelihood is that even in doing authentic actions, we start living an authentic life.
Well, like that quote, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Right.
Often we start with the right that is aligned with our soul's desires. And unless we are not paying attention, we have to keep checking and checking and checking with ourselves if we're staying true to that.
Because not just intentions. Here I'm saying, even if the actions are authentic, the intention behind them has to remain authentic. And that's very difficult. And I think unless we realize we're actually in a, I was talking to somebody yesterday, this idea that, you know, some people think that, you know, well, I've been spiritual for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, I've got it down, right?
That's scary.
Right. The point is, you have to accept that it's a lifetime battle. And therefore, living an authentic life, which is probably the most important question in life, has to be, you have to accept it's going to be a battle. There's going to be a force, call it your ego, that's going to push you to an inauthentic life. And unless you're battling that and questioning, that's where we wind up by default.
So there's one big factor in being authentic, and it's one of my favorite words. I don't think you could guess what it is.
Echt. Yes.
Do you know?
No, authentic. Truth?
Integrity.
Integrity.
I love that word. I love that word because it's such a hard one to consistently act with. And I don't even know if people aspire to, but for me personally, I always aspire to act with integrity. The word integrity means wholeness. Living in integrity means expressing and doing what's true for you in all situations. And that's why I think it's really difficult, because who can really do that? I think it's something to aspire to be. And I guess that's why I like the word, because I'm not sure I'll ever fully get there. I like the pursuit of it.
So give me an example so it's clear to me and to our listeners.
For instance, when we depart from our truth, from integrity, it might be that, you know, you give fake smiles or you kiss up to people who are even mean to you, right?
Right. Again, to be clear, I do agree with what you're saying. It's just that fake smile, I give fake smiles, right?
No, but
the smile that you're doing, the reason why you're doing it is it's because you want them to like you, not because you want to do them, you want to be kind to them, right?
Right. Or like somebody smiles with their like eye squinting, but you can feel them.
And that's not really a smile.
Correct.
I think what's important is, again, I do feel, and we've spoken about this in previous podcasts, that, you know, there are times when it's the right thing to lie. It's there are times when it's the right thing to not, like as we said earlier, to behave as you're feeling. But I think what you're saying is, you have to question why am I smiling at this person who hurt me so badly? Is it because I want to be liked or I want to be okay?
I don't want that. Yeah.
Or is it just I'm being a very spiritual person, right?
Because the danger here is that you'll end up living two versions of your life in one, right? You're not going to be whole and yourself in every area. You might be spiritual in front of your community, but you might be a really not great boss, right? There's some kind of disconnect.
So
a way to see if you're acting integrity, for instance, is to ask the question simply, where am I out of my integrity? If you don't know how to answer that, then when am I not allowing myself to feel what I feel or to express what I know or even what I believe, right? It's a disconnect from a truth that's within you. So for instance, if you don't think that people should be mean to other people or bully them, but then you're going to give them the fake smile because maybe you don't want them to bully you. Look, I understand we have to be careful in some areas, right? It's a tricky kind of thing, but you know when you're not being true to yourself. I think that's being out of integrity.
And I do think, tell me if you disagree, that it really comes down to intention. Am I smiling at this person who was nasty to me because I want to do what my soul wants and wants me to be kind even to those who hurt me? Or am I doing it because I care that they'll like me or that other people will like me? Right? I think intention is what often differentiates integrity and lack of integrity. Would you agree?
I think it's also what you value and what you believe, right? I mean, I think the first time I kind of experienced it was when I was in a situation where I had to make a really difficult decision, and I could make it one way and I would disappoint certain people, and then I could make another decision and I would disappoint myself, right? And I had to go back to really what was true to me and why I'm doing the things that I do. So yes, your point, intention, right? When I got clear about why this decision was important to make based on the truth of who I am to me, right? I'd rather disappoint other people than disappoint myself. But again, so the first step is relationship with yourself, like everything we've said so far. But then to live in integrity is to be able to go in every scenario, every situation. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it what I believe in? Is it what I believe to be true and important?
Right.
So I just think that that's such an important, beautiful kind of way to live. And when you live with integrity, you can trust yourself to make good choices. You actually feel really whole. But, I mean, and that is the word, wholeness, right?
To our listeners, I mean, it's not that easy to
no,
do.
No, it's not.
And you have to
do first steps before that, for sure.
But you did say something else, which I want to underscore, which I think is so important, that you behave with integrity because you, like you said, the word integrity, meaning wholeness, meaning in all places of your yeah. life, which means, you know, there's that cliche of the person who, you know, in public behaves one uh-huh. way and at home behaves another way. And while that's probably true for all of us in some degree or another, the question is, how big is that disparity?
That's right.
And I think you should ask, you know, a good question to say, well, if the people that I behave or showed this part of me, saw me
the others,
here.
Exactly.
What would they be thinking? Would I be embarrassed?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then, right. then don't do it because of them, but do it because of you.
Right.
You need to be, the right thing is to behave in wholeness, which means in all situations in the same
right.
way.
And that's why I love this word so much, because it's really how you hold yourself accountable to making sure you look at every facet of your being and they're all aligned. You know, I'm really big on being a star in all areas of your life. Yes.
You are a star.
No, but you know, I think body, mind, and spirit. I see a lot of people who, you know, are just spiritual and it's all in the mind, and the heart and the mind never kind of connect, or the body is not.
But that's something.
Still, it's still living in the truth and the wholeness of you are. And right. by the way, when you start living in integrity, you're going to upset a lot of people. Why? Because they might not like to hear what you have to. Like if you're living in that truth, right, you might have to stand up to somebody who's not going to like what you have to say. You're going to have to share your beliefs. They might be against what somebody believes. Of course, be smart about it. But when you live in integrity, you do. You know, it is scary.
And it reminds
me. Until it's freeing.
Right. And you would agree that it doesn't mean you have to share. Integrity doesn't mean you share your truth,
it's
right?
It's what you know to be. But you're not pretending to yourself even to be somebody else.
Right. And you don't pretend to others for the purpose of them liking you. It might be true that it's your soul's desire that you don't mention a belief because, you know, you just don't want to start a fight or hurt somebody else.
Or what's the point? But I think to live in integrity does require truth telling. Because we often lie to other people.
Two things. A few days ago, we were actually having a talk with somebody, and you know, you're much more. I was going to say I like confrontation, but you're.
No, you lean, I wouldn't say that's the right word.
Let's put it this way. You lean into confrontation more than I.
I like truth speaking. Right. I don't like wasting time. And I feel like if somebody's come to us and they want to have a conversation, we owe it to themselves and ourselves, because I don't want to waste my time to have an honest conversation. I do have to hold myself accountable to be kind and to be considerate and not to say everything that I think. But I think that if they come specifically for a conversation based on a truth that they're asking to hear, why not be honest?
Right. So I think it's very, very, very illustrative of what we're talking about. So I want to share that story.
Yes, I wouldn't call it confrontation. I would call it truth telling.
Yes, truth telling. Integrity.
That's correct.
So a few days ago, somebody who had behaved not right towards you and I, you know, wanted to meet with us. We sat down with him and he shared with us, you know, his apology, and it was sincere and so on. And then my, you know, I just always get not uncomfortable, but sort of sad for them. So I want to end the conversation quickly.
I want to unpack it.
which is what you did. And it was so important. And interestingly, even I didn't share this with you yet, but even after that, I was thinking there's probably a few more things we should have unpacked. And the point is the reason why, and this is, you know, the reason why I didn't want to, is because not because I wanted them to like me, but I felt bad for them. But the integrity.
But you
thing,
also are uncomfortable in those kinds of conversations.
Yeah, also true. The integrity step there was what you did, which is, okay, great. I'm so happy you're contrite and you apologize, but let's unpack it and use examples from our past where we didn't always do that. So I think it's really important.
And by the way, like, that's the other part of it, because the truth is, had I not said what I had to say, like, okay, if if you're really sorry, and then whatever, we had this whole conversation, then I wouldn't trust anything that he had said, right? And then I wouldn't be living in integrity. I wouldn't be acting in integrity then.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't respond in that way. So there's no, I don't think there's a, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So before we go on to further, I would recommend that we do a second.
Yes, because.
I have a lot more that I wanted to share. I know that you did as well. But before we.
Also, just had so much fun. Thank you, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila. I do want to share something. I know we usually do letters to from our listeners. This time I'm actually going
to
do.
You wrote a letter to me?
Yes, a letter to you. No, this is actually.
That would be so nice, by the way. I would really appreciate that if you wrote a letter to me just saying how much you enjoy doing this podcast with me.
and I would read it or you would read it?
I don't know. Surprise me.
Okay.
I'll write a letter to you too.
But I think.
Dear Michael.
I think you'll enjoy this. Okay.
What's up your sleeve?
And I think this is very much in line with a lot of what we said and also what I.
No, don't read. What are you going to read?
Okay. This is a podcast review of the Spiritually Hungry podcast on Apple. So I do recommend, this is a good point, time to remind all of our listeners to go to Apple Podcasts, write 5-star reviews, and share this podcast with everybody you know. Also, I wanted to add that Monica and I are also very much sharing wisdom daily on our social. So Monica Berg 74 on Instagram.
Monica R. Berg.
Sorry. Monica R. Berg. Don't go. I don't know who this Monica Berg 74 is.
Exactly.
I do know who this Monica R. Berg is.
Do you know what R stands for?
Rochelle. Monica R. Berg 74 on Instagram. Michael Berg on Instagram. If you want to get daily pieces of wisdom from us.
Do you remember our friend, our good friends? They'd been married for a long time already. And then she had her initials monogrammed on a shirt. I don't know, something. And I was like, oh, what does that stand for? What does the H stand for? And she looked to her husband. She's like, yeah, what does it stand for? And he's like, And he starts guessing, oh, I can't even think of another name with an H. And then she's like, no, it's Helen. So now I can
He never knew who.
He didn't know.
Do you tell me?
Yeah. And so now every time I think about her, I just think about Helen. I can never get her middle name out of my head because she was so wounded that he didn't know.
How many years were they married?
Like 10 at that point. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm very excited about this review. So the title is.
Is there another H name? Besides
Henrietta.
Helen? Harrietta, too. Henrietta.
Okay. Can I get to this?
Is Hopper a girl's name?
Can be.
Happier.
Hope.
I think the medication's still working.
They're good.
I'm getting to your point already.
So I'm going to do this slowly because I really enjoyed this and I hope our listeners do it. And I believe, Monica, you will as well.
I'm curious.
The title of the review is Husband Interrupting Too Much.
Not today, my friend. Not today.
So this person gave a 4-star review. If you were listening to the podcast, you'd know that we always ask for a 5-star review. But great podcast with really amazing topics. And I will definitely continue listening. But Michael interrupts Monica way too much. There you go. I wish he'd take more of a backseat because the things she's saying are more relevant and make more sense. And then, this is a crying face. There's been so many times where I'm listening to and hanging on onto the words Monica is saying, and Michael just completely interrupts her mid-sentence over and over again.
Oh, no.
3 exclamation marks. Then don't even get to hear the point she was going to make. And the things he keeps interrupting her over don't even make sense and are sometimes off topic. Definitely nothing worth interrupting her over. Frowny face. Hate to be negative, and I rarely write reviews, but it's genuinely so capital S, capital O, annoying. So, and I can't.
My heart hurts. Why did you want it? Why were you excited to read this one?
Because it made me happy to read it.
Why?
Because I think the point is the reason we do things should be because we feel our soul wants to do them. And whether you get positive reviews or whether you get negative reviews or somebody tells you to shut up.
Bravo.
that shouldn't influence. That's one indication. I think that's a really good indication. If you get a negative, and this isn't so much, this is a very positive review for our podcast. It's a negative review of my interruptions. if you're doing it for the right reasons, it doesn't really change your desire to do them.
Oh,
but I also was very much entertained by it.
Oh, I see that.
But this is a good time to remind our listeners, please go to Apple Podcasts and write 5-star reviews, not 4-star, 5-star reviews. Share this podcast with everybody that you know. Go to Monica R. Berg 74 on Instagram, Michael Berg on Instagram to get daily wisdom from us. And as always, especially this one.
Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we really did. Stay spiritually hungry.